Whiskey 360 podcast. Guys, the budget's tight. We just had the holidays. I couldn't afford the guru this week. His rates are far too high. The guru is such a musky superstar that I couldn't afford him. So I found the cheapest option in the musky world, Joe Booker. How you doing, Joe? New guy on the scene. These new guys in the musky world will work for cheap. Joe's a new face here on the scene. How you doing?
You know, it's funny. Isn't it funny? Because what everything you said, and I'm sure most of our listeners will agree, everything you said is just the opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, all that aside.
I'm paying this guy $100 a minute, folks. Get what you can out of it.
All that aside, anytime you and I get together and have a conversation, and that's the problem, too, is when we have a conversation, it's never like a couple minutes.
No, it's never ending.
You and I have clicked like this for a long time, folks. Steve and I, man, it's music, it's muskies, it's whatever. You know, we just have a good time. We're going to talk about muskies tonight in several different arenas. But I'm really excited, Steve.
Yes, sir.
About the long-term fan interest in republishing, or, you know, re-editing, republishing, and just launching the old episodes. And so we're going to finally do it. And what's interesting, you know, of course, you know about it, and mm-hmm. I have promoted a little bit on Facebook and Instagram, some of my social media sites, you know, Fishing with Joe Booker, Hall of Fame series Reloaded.
Reloaded. Reloaded.
So when you hear that voice on there, folks, that is the man himself, Stephen Paul, who can do it all.
I work for the – when you call movie phone, it just dials my cell phone. 715.
You can do it all. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. You can do it all, man. Dude, you're just amazing. So here we are, this COVID thing, just to give folks kind of a background, this COVID with borders closing and I can't get boats and motors. And I mean, this has been the craziest year, folks. I even lost one of my big sponsors. And you know this, Steve, Evinrude, halfway through the season, Evinrude goes out of business and I don't have an outboard for my boat. This is the craziest year.
That was not expected by anybody, though, Joe.
Well, yeah. So
that
so,
was crazy, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So this has been the craziest year. You can't go to Canada. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't, you know, the mask is on the wrong way, whatever. The bottom line is it gave us a great opportunity to launch a much asked for Reloaded Hall of Fame series. And what it is, folks, is, you know, most of you guys have been watching my show, my old broadcast television show, which was on the air, you know, over 30 years. But, you know, when you watch broadcast TV, and that's where you started watching me, Steve, too, is, you know,
for years.
You had to be able to watch it at, you know, 8:30 on Saturday morning on such and such channel. And then, of course, if you had a DVR, you could watch it later, whatever. But that was it. And you only got to see those episodes. A lot of these episodes were only seen once, and they were only broadcast once or twice and maybe on a rerun. But you know what I mean? Most people don't have this in their library. Mm-hmm. So what was so cool is, you know, the young audience that has been watching me on YouTube and you know, on Facebook and Instagram and all this other stuff, you know, that become newer fans or just follow me in all these other arenas and then watch my television show the last 5 to 10 years never saw those old episodes. Mm-hmm. And so now we are going through the library and we're starting to air them. And so it's been quite a project, believe it or not. It takes, as you would know,
a lot
of folks listening, but it takes a ton of expertise, technology, and effort to take an old episode that is on formats that people don't even have a machine that can run them.
They just used to flip the pictures by the TV. That's all. Some of these are on beta, right?
1-inch tape, 3/4-inch tape, VHS.
Shadows VHS on the cave wall, folks.
Mini DV cam. You know, it's all these different formats. So if you can imagine, you know, not to bore any of you with any more details, but you can imagine just trying to find a source, just find a source that can actually digitize this footage, you know, from all these original sources. In other words, I give them a beta tape or a one inch, you know, one inch. These were reels, reel to reel, one mm-hmm. inch reels. Who has that equipment to even do this stuff? And that was the biggest, drawback. You know, we found a service that could do it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what we're going to do, the long and short is you're going to get 26 episodes and 26 weeks in a row, just like you did. If you've seen yeah. my show for years, but now it's going to be Fishing with Joe Bucher Reloaded. And you're going to see a lot of these classic older episodes. So you're going to see different boats, different motors, yeah. you know, older St. Croix rods, you know, this is pre, you know, the Legend tournaments and all this other, it's, you know, you're going to see all the classic lures. You're going to see episodes where I actually designed the lure for the situation on the air. Like, you know, the Slotmaster spinnerbait, the Slotmaster buzzbait, I actually built the first Slotmaster buzzbait in the boat. And I'm tweaking it, and then I catch a fish doing that. And those are the kind of episodes you're going to see. The first Willowbuck I ever built.
Yep.
You know, you're going to see the maiden voyage of it and stuff like that. And you know, and then the other thing too is some of these techniques. You know, that some folks claim today. You know, oh, this is new. This is, you know, this is revolutionary. You know, look and see 30 years ago. Gee whiz, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, This guy was talking about this stuff right. 30 years ago. And, you know, the other thing you got to realize is 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, we didn't have the technology and the tackle and in the electronics, and none of that stuff existed.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of fun looking back at that. And one final point on that, which is worth mentioning, is that one of the things I've noticed, you know, you're not going to see all these multiple camera angles because, you know, a lot of that stuff was filmed with one camera. So
right.
you watch somebody go, gee whiz, you know, that's pretty simple the way the guy shot this. And guess what? That's the way we did things back then, you know.
Right.
But what you will see and hear is that, you know what? A lot of this stuff is just timeless. It's just timeless. Stuff that works. You know, your dad used to tell you that kind of stuff,
and that's
right?
The muskies are so much different now. No, they're not. We live in this world of immediacy now, and you know, a lot of people don't realize this is sort of the golden age of muskie fishing, where you have the highest stocking, and you've got your big bodies of water that have they're dumping them in there heavy as they can get them in here, and you go, you know, whether it be, you know, what 30 years ago, how big were the rods, Joe? 7.6?
No. Seven six was a long rod. You know, you just didn't have the technology of rods that you do today. You didn't have the technology in line.
Yeah.
You're gonna see me fishing with saltwater mono and mm-hmm. Dacron line and you know, the other thing too is that what you know, techniques and all this stuff was that, you know, we have now with the educational sources, including Muskie 360, obviously, you know, which is the ultimate resource for education and information. Think back 30 years ago, where are you mm-hmm. getting your information from? So a handful of guys like me were out there doing this stuff, and that was it.
A
lot of stuff will be revealed again, you know, in this series. And that's why I'm pretty excited about it. And I know that what effort it took to get, you know, to get this, you know, to bring this to a reality. And we're going to do it for a number of years, regardless of what happens
mm-hmm.
in the future with me, you know, you've been asking me off the air, you know, when are you going to get back into, doing what you're doing, what you've been doing in the past? And I'm really, right now I'm on a wait and see basis. You know,
you're just living the Bucher life, baby.
Well, you know, it was a big transition in life mm-hmm. for me with selling our home and all these things happening with, you know, politics and the world and COVID. And so, you know, it's a perfect time for me to launch the Reload series. And at the same time, kind of reload you know, the way I look at things. And if things settle down in a few years and I want to jump back into this, yeah, absolutely, I'll jump back. And I've got some young buddies like
Mr. You got friends in low places here, buddy.
It's just one of those things that, you know, just think about it. I mean, you and I can reload. And you and I can fire up and do our own thing and get back on the air doing a new fishing series, like boom, like that. But we already have. You and I have filmed some great stuff already that's mm-hmm. still sitting in the pre-production
the
stage.
Booker
and
you Vault, and I, if filmed, you will.
We filmed last summer.
Absolutely. I think the Book Daddy will be up here, and he might leave the beach for an hour and a half sometime. Come up north here to Tennessee. You're the most southern guy I know, Booker. That's
you know,
scary.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that is, and folks, you'll really appreciate this, is that here I am in Florida right now, Northwest Florida, for my first winter. You know, my first full winter north of Florida, mm-hmm. and I'm down here and it's cold.
Eating like a king, though.
Where I'm going with this is that, guess what? You know, the same skills and basic skill level mm-hmm. and knowledge base and techniques that work with all these fish I'm catching freshwater. I go down here, I'm doing the same thing in, you know, December and January. And guess what? There's fresh fish on the skillet, you know, 3-4 times.
Not to take a big left turn, because this is the Muskie 360 podcast. But me and you had a private conversation a couple weeks ago. I was like, what are you doing? You know, and you're talking about trolling.
Yes.
Tell them what you've been, because it parlays to the reloaded series. So if you're sitting there going,
it's totally
right. And you go,
foreign.
Why do we want to watch people that not, it's transcendent skills and technique are transcendent. Tell them what you did down in Florida trolling.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, Steve. It's exactly right. Is that the techniques that I have shown people for years, and some techniques that I learned from my predecessors, like Buck Perry.
Mm-hmm.
When I come down here in strange water, it's a redfish, it's a speckled trout, you know, it's a black drum, you know, it's a dolphin, you mm-hmm. know, it my it's yeah. it doesn't matter
right.
because
it's a fish.
It's a fish, and yeah, when I went down here and. I need to cover water. It's strange water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what's in front of me. How am I going to get from point A to point B and learn a few things? I just threw a couple lures out the back and put my electronics on and started trolling trolling crankbaits. Crankbait secrets, Joe Buka crankbait secrets, you know. Boom, boom, boom. I'm catching speckled trout. I'm catching redfish. And I'm looking around and then there's nobody around me. And then, you know, maybe there's a couple guys on the shore. Fishing live bait because the water's cold. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I've got a live well full of fish and I'm putting fish back and people are kind of looking at me funny. And then I'm doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks and nobody's catching and nobody's still caught on. No, mm-hmm. I haven't seen another boat doing it.
No. And they're asking you at the ramp going,
yeah,
how'd you do? And they're going, you're going, okay. And they're going, we caught one. I mean, that's what you told me. There, it's just like, you're out there, you're out there trolling, and you're out there twitching.
I had a charter captain drive by me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I see him all the time, and he just gives me the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Right.
And he picks his hands like, "Are you doing any good?" And I was reluctant, you know, so I took I didn't give him the thumbs up or the thumbs down. I just gave my hand, you know, like that wavering, like, "Hey, it's okay."
Right.
And then I turned my hand up like with the question mark, like, are you doing any good?
Right.
And he went thumbs down. And I didn't want to tell him that, you know, I'm just trolling this brake line right where you're driving by to go out. I'm trolling this brake line where you're driving.
Stacked with fish. Yeah.
Which speckled trout.
It's funny because you ought to see the hand gestures I give other boats, Joe. They're really different. They really don't utilize the entire hand. Try that one day.
Well, you know, it's with all the things that are going on right now, It's great to have a conversation with you and just lighten things up a little bit and have a little fun.
But, absolutely.
I was excited to tell you about the reload series, and I'm down here in Florida catching a few fish now and then. But you know, we got this muskie game. This for video guys. You've been behind this
video game
whole project from day one. Tell these folks about it.
Well, that's the thing. You're such a big gamer. Joe Booker is just literally like one of the biggest gamers you've ever met. He's a Fortniter, big into the Minecraft.
However, my grandson is.
Them kids. Hello, fellow kids. Do you want to get into muskie fishing? No, man. We have a video game. How ridiculous is that? You can, in the palm of your hand, you can hold a tiny version of Joe Booker in the palm of your hand. It's rather ridiculous. And so it came out today. We got the Muskie Country. There's the version. You can play it from the comfort of the Muskie 360 app, or you can download it as freestanding. And we're going to keep adding to that. That's a cool thing because, like, Joe, your voice is in the game. A lot of cool little insights and stuff. We recorded all that garbage, and Joe's like, what are we recording? I said, just shut up and talk and say musky stuff. What are you doing to me? Just
cast
talk.
There,
just
cast there.
Cast there.
Figure it.
You know, so
speed
fun.
It up, speed it up.
For all you video game kids. No, it's a fun thing. We got that going on. So you can check it out. It's under the version. Both versions are free. You can add stuff on there, but you can fish with, because Joe was so gracious, you can fish with real Joe Booker lures in the game. That's the cool thing.
But not only me, right? I mean, you can fish with Stephen Paul, who knows it all.
True.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall.
Or if you're feeling charitable, you can pick the guru. if your life's not great, pick Tyler. It's fine.
Now let's switch gears again.
Yeah.
We want to switch gears again, and we want to talk about the recent passing of Tom Gelb.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yeah, you know.
Lay it on me.
Well, you know, the I guess the only thing I can add to it is that, you know, Tom and I go back to when, you know, I guided Tom back when he was still at Harley-Davidson, and that's one of those stories that may or may not be well known, but you know, back when he was still at Harley-Davidson, he was up on vacation with his family at Wildcat Lodge in Boulder Junction. He wanted to fish. Most of the guides back in the day, they fished a 9-to-5 kind of schedule, and it kind of went with American Plan Lodging. And you and I've been at American Plan Lodges together, where you got to be in it for a meal at a certain time, and you know, you get breakfast a certain time. And so the guides all fished, you know, just like they do up there. They fish in between those hours.
Right.
He wanted a guide that could fish, you know, early in the morning and late at night, and you know, late in the evening, you know, the lodge owner told him, we don't have anybody like that. Right. Except
we know this crazy guy.
You know, this one guy that may be interested. If he's got an opening, he may be interested in taking you out. And so, you know, long and short of it is the owner of Wildcat Lodge hooked up Tom Gelb and Joe Booker years ago, and we went out fishing together. And not to use the overused cliche, you know, the rest is history. But then, you know, we started to click and do a lot of things together over the years. And what's interesting, when I started Muskie Hunter magazine, I wanted Tom to be one of the writers because he had this kind of an engineer. He had a big engineering background.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he was a very meticulous angler beyond muskie fishing. So, you know, it was one of those things that I thought he would. One of my goals when I first started Muskie Hunter was to get all the best muskie fishermen, not writers. I didn't want writers.
Right.
I wanted anglers. I want to get the best muskie anglers in North America all contributing to Muskie Hunter so that we could tell, you know, show the world the techniques, expose these good guides to, you know, for guide services and for techniques and for, you know, lure production, and create a real industry magazine beyond just for, you know, for the people making products in the muskie industry, but also saying, you know, telling the whole world of North America that muskie fishes, who these guys were, and I wanted Geld to be part of it. One of the untold stories, and we could talk about this all night, one of the untold stories was that Tom was not interested in that. And Tom came from that school, that older school that you didn't tell anybody where you fished.
Right.
You didn't tell anybody where your best deer stand was, where your best fishing spots were, what you were catching them on. And in fact, when I was one of the first Canadian trips Tom and I made together, I remember one of his big lines was, there was this guy at the guy waited at the dock for Tom and I to come in every night at the lodge we're at. And he waited at the dock because he wanted to find out what we caught. Mm-hmm. And Tom, and when as soon as Tom would see his silhouette at the docks were coming in, he'd go, "Oh, sure." Well, he's like, "Oh, we gotta put up with this guy."
And then
and then he go, he looked at me, he said, "Don't make eye contact." And I laughed so hard, that's been one of our lines all the time. Even when I used to go out to eat with Tom, I wouldn't look at him, and my wife wouldn't look at him. He'd go, "What's, you ever hear Tom talk? He has a real funny way of talking.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong?" I said, and I'm just saying, "You told us don't make eye contact. So we were making, we pull stuff like that with him all the time. But he was very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
So getting him to write for us was a big breakthrough. And, I finally talked him into, "Tom, just show us pictures of fish, some of the fish you're catching, and give us the basics of what you did." And it didn't take long for him to, his meticulous nature to show up in these articles.
Mm-hmm.
And, over time you can see one more story.
Light on.
That's kind of funny. One more story about Tom Gale is really funny. Okay. Everybody knows of him, now as this road trolling guru, right?
Right.
Not to be confused with, the one and only Tyler Andrews, the muskie guru.
The
right?
guru, yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, what's funny about Tom Gelb and road trolling, now, Tom Gelb was quite the motor troller from his Great Lakes days.
Mm-hmm.
He was a really good salmon and trout fisherman. I mean, exceptionally good.
Mm-hmm.
And he, he even chartered and stuff out there in both Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. Tom really knew his stuff about lake trout trolling and stuff. Anyways, he thought I was roll trolling way before Tom Gelb was roll trolling because I was guiding. He wasn't. I was guiding, and I didn't like the live bait thing.
Right.
As much as I love catching fish and artificial lures, no matter what the conditions, mm-hmm. including what I'm doing here in Florida right now,
right.
I'm not fishing live bait at all.
No.
But anyways, where I was going with that is when I got one of these little road trolling boats, and I was a big fan of Bob Ellis, who was the true godfather of road trolling.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Tom saying, "What the heck are you doing?" I said, "You're going to kill yourself out there. You're nuts going out there in that cold water rolling around." And look what happened to Bob Ellis,
Right.
And Bob Ellis, by the way, Bob Ellis got run over.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, on a snowstorm day, Bob Ellis got run over while he was road trolling. And so, he thought it was dangerous and it was a waste of time. Okay. So then he goes out and does it once or twice and he goes, "I think I could get into this." And then he goes and buys a boat and yeah. Now he was the road trolling guru, catches a 50 pounder road trolling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny the way things develop, and how you change your tune. But Tom saw the value in it, just like he did in everything else he did. He was a meticulous guy, and it was a perfect technique for him,
mm-hmm.
In cold water to score on these big fish in those little lakes in northern Wisconsin, where, you can put a rowboat in the water and you can row around in 100 to 1,000 acre lake and be pretty effective at doing it. And when the water's cold, you don't have to generate much speed to get, to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was very effective at doing that. So that those are just two of the many, 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 many stories, that there's a lot of them I probably can't tell. In fact, there's no probably about it, but it's so funny. I got to tell you one more before.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
This is so funny because, we're talking about Gelb and his recent passing. And, it's funny when I first was fishing with him and even doing stories, you know, that we would either co-write or, you know, he'd write a story about a trip and then I'd write a different version of this, of that trip, you know, with different fish we caught and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's so funny because, you know, when folks had asked me about Tom, I said, what a guy's an Iron Man, you know, for his age and everything. And by the way, about that time, you know, in his life, he's about the same age as I am mm-hmm. right now. They said, oh, yeah, this guy's an Iron Man. I mean, he'll go out there, you know, he'll go after it all day. Well, the real story is when we go out fishing, first of all, the guy is one of those guys, like so many in that era, that he'd be up at like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
You know?
I haven't seen 4:30 unless I was up drinking, you know?
So, you know, when you went on a fishing trip with this guy, he'd be up clanging and banging pots and pans and making coffee and making noise at 4:30 in the morning every morning. See, you know, the last couple hours you're trying to sleep, you're not sleeping.
Right.
And then by 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, I can't keep my eyes open. I'm out of here. You know, he'd be sleeping.
Right.
And then he'd be snoring so loud that you couldn't sleep. So, you know, he always wanted to rent a one-room cabin when we went on fishing trips.
Right.
And I said, no, there's no more of this. Two rooms or we don't, you know, we're never going on a fishing trip again.
Right.
Why not? I said, because you snore so loud that nobody can sleep. He says, you're waking up everybody in the next cabin. So get this. So, you know, on top of that, when he'd always want to go in for lunch, mm-hmm. especially on a cold day, and then he'd start a fire.
Yeah.
And as soon as he'd eat, as soon as he put that sandwich in his mouth and he'd had a couple bites, he'd have like this big sugar drop,
mm-hmm.
sugar level drop. And it would be no time at all. He'd be leaning up against a tree and he'd be sleeping for a half an hour, So, and you know, somebody who know Galver listening to this story, you're gonna laugh at you. So one time he did this every day. So I'm sitting around, you know, sharpening hooks and, you know, putting another stick or two on the fire waiting for this knucklehead to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I figured I'm going to fix him once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
And when he fell asleep, I just got back in the boat, pushed the boat on, just went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm pretty far away from it. Also, you're way in the distance. You can hear, I look over there. Here's this guy. He's waving. He's got his hat off, and he's waving and yelling at the top of his lungs. Get over here. And I'm ignoring him. You know, like,
right,
laughing
right,
so
yeah.
hard. You know. And then I finally, I leave him yell for a while. And then I came back, and I said, "What's going on, Tom? Did you have a good nap at that lunchtime?" You know. He goes, "Well, that was really low." I says, and I did, you know, of course I lost it then.
Yeah.
I said, "Tom," he says, "you're falling asleep on me for an hour and a half, sometimes longer than that." I says, "Every lunchtime." I says, "We should be in and out of here in 15, 20 minutes. And you're sleeping half the afternoon."
Yeah.
So after that, he always slept with one eye open. You know?
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Well, let me ask you one thing, one pointed question here while I have you. And then I'll let you go here. It's debatable. No one really knows a solid answer on the Canadian thing, right? It's on mm-hmm. the top mm-hmm. of everybody's mind. Is Canada going to be open? Is it not? Is it this? Is it that? Or do we need mm-hmm. this? Do mm-hmm. we need that? Up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
My gut tells me it's going to be sketchy regardless. Mm-hmm. What does an angler do? Because this is a major question we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
As much as the Northwoods were beat up this year, as much as those mm-hmm. prime Minnesota lakes were beat up, let's say we can't go to Canada again this year. What's the best course of action for somebody that needs to get on some fish from the best you can come up with off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, the best I can come up with off the top of my head is, you know, it's funny because just to move in a different direction quickly,
mm-hmm.
I won't stay there a long time, but I feel so bad for these lodge owners.
Oh, yeah.
And the people up there that are trying to, I mean, gosh, that was tough enough for these folks last year.
Yeah.
To survive something like this, not to allow American tourism in there another year.
Right.
I question how many of these people are going to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, it's all these things always open up opportunities to do other things. And you know, yes, it's brought a lot more traffic and congestion to American waters during peak times. And I guess, you know, it's one of those things. There's like a handful of good things you can do. One of the things I would highly suggest you, all you folks listening, and this is a direct plug for my friend who runs this podcast.
Oh,
and who runs Muskie 360, Stephen Paul, is to take advantage of some of these other fisheries, like the southern fishery, even on off seasons, and come down and visit guys like you and go fishing and go do some of these other things, go fish with some of these other regions and fish. And I think the other thing is to, you know, to fish, it's hard to find uncongested water in the lower 50 or the lower 40, yeah. 49, 48, whatever it is, 48.
Whatever year it is. Yeah. Yeah.
But fishing big water, you know, like, you know, one of the things that a lot of guys did was, you know, they're fishing the American side, the Minnesota side of Lake of the Woods, for example, going on Lake St. Clair. You know, Lake St. Clair was, you know, like those big bodies of water like Green Bay and Lake St. Clair and some of the bigger Minnesota waters, although that's arguable on the Minnesota thing, they can swallow up a lot of that traffic. The smaller waters, not so much.
Right.
One of the things that you know, we did last summer that was I was very successful with is just taking pages out of my old playbooks, and that was fishing odd times, night fishing, you know, lots of daybreak, you know, right at daybreak and fishing till mid morning when the boat traffic picks up in midsummer. And that alone, in fact, I was to recommend just one thing, that alone, the daybreak till like 10 in the morning bite is still a sleeper because, no pun intended, most people are sleeping
and lazy.
You know, yeah, they just don't get up. You know, I make fun of it all the time when I'm down to see my son in Nashville. That city of Nashville doesn't wake up till like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Buddy, I tell people all the time, I say, why we start so late? I said, I was drunk till 10 a.m. You know, I mean, it's Nashville, baby. That's a drinking town with a music problem, son.
So. That's for sure. But you know, but it's so interesting that, you know, human nature, people don't get going in the morning. And if you want to get good fishing on some of these hard fish lakes, it's still tough to beat a morning bite, you know, a really early morning bite. And one other thing is to fish waters with no campgrounds and no resorts. So if you focus on those kind, no campgrounds, no resorts, that's not easy to find, but there are those waters. You know, you get away from the towns, get away from, you know, the well-known areas and fish some of these offbeat spots. And you know, you and Tyler did that last summer.
Oh yeah.
You weren't Monaco, Eagle River, Boulder Junction. You were fishing an offbeat spot, and even in the middle of summer, you had that water to yourselves.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things I would do. And the only other thing I would do is when you are forced to fish in pressure, is downsize.
Absolutely. Just do what, and pretty much what you summarization is, do what other people aren't willing to do. If you want to put them in the net, I mean, like you said, the downsizing and the getting up early and fishing weird stuff. Well, Joe, I'm excited as all get out about the Legend Series. Comes out this week. So if you're listening,
this Friday,
it'll be on the app and it'll be on the YouTubes and the internets and all the fun stuff. So,
and Rumble, by the way, Rumble. We are launching our first series on Rumble. So you have an alternative to YouTube. Because, you know, YouTube has been a challenge for some of us. You always got to be looking for other options. And so Rumble is a new platform that we're going to launch our series on too.
Well, and to that point, just to let you know, if you were following Joe on Twitter, like a lot of you were, you actually made the move over to Parler.
I moved over to the parlor for the same reason. As I said, I don't want to, you know, somebody tell me what I can or can't say, or they decide that they're, you know, it's crazy. What's going on with, yeah. So I'm moving away from any of these platforms that you're trying to behave like, you know, like they're like a lot of these networks did.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And even, you know, when we were on network television, it was a lot. That was the same thing. You've got to be on at this time. You can only air for this long and so on and so forth. Well, we're not doing it. You know, there's other ways to broadcast.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're doing.
And that's a good reason too, of why we have the Muskie 360 app. We do what we want, folks.
Yes. And we offer it free of charge, which is, that's the other reason we did it that way. So there's, you know, nobody can say, well, you know, that still costs you 99 cents or costs you this. No. Everybody has access to Muskie 360, 24/7, 365.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, I will let you go here. I can't thank you enough. Obviously, you're going to hear from him here again soon, folks. All right, Joe. Thank you so much, my friend.
It's been a while since we had a chance to talk, and I'm looking forward to talking to you more this year. And at the same time, it was a lot of fun tonight, Steve. Thanks.
Always, buddy. Talk to you soon.